The fact that the rights set out in international law, as Atina has pointed out, may not be fully or adequately protected in reality at national level, I think as Laura made a very good point earlier, is acknowledged by international organisations across the board. Two organisations here, the International Juvenile Justice Observatory and the European Council for Juvenile Justice, are just two organisations which gather qualitative and quantitative information on the situation of children, adolescents and young people in conflict with the law. They also formulate recommendations on the development and evolution of juvenile justice, and they propose coordinated activities between public administrations, non-governmental organisations and academic centres, across Europe and worldwide. However, the interaction of international law and national law can be complicated, which I think the case has been made very clearly here today. And all too often, such recommendations and proposals have no real teeth. Indeed, compliance with international law itself is often very, very difficult to achieve in practice, again, as Laura and Atina have pointed out. Particularly when rights are formatted and discussed in more general terms, rather than in more detailed terms. However, as Atina has pointed out, the focus in this debate and discourse has shifted from a more general discourse on human rights and shifted to a discourse which is more focused on effective participation of children with the criminal justice system. And this is something that has been taken up in the context of the European Union. Now, European Union law differs from ordinary international law in a number of ways. Most importantly, unlike traditional international law, which binds states in the international arena, European Union law actually becomes part of the law, the legal systems of the member states. In that way, it's binding not only on states, but it also gives individuals rights which must be upheld within their own national legal systems. With regard to children's rights under EU law, we can see the development or shift in focus has also happened from the general to the more particular, with the focus on effective participation. We've got general rights set out in the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union, and the shift happens through various communications and guidelines, such as the 2006 Commission Communication Towards an EU Strategy on the Rights of the Child. That was published by the European Forum on the Rights of the Child, which is a permanent group for the promotion of children's rights in EU's internal and external action. It focuses very much on child-friendly justice and on effective participation of children within the criminal justice system. Most importantly, what I'd like to focus, again, being mindful of time, on today, most importantly, as part of the European Union's procedural rights roadmap, the Council of Ministers has recently put forward a legislative proposal on special safeguards and criminal procedures for suspected or accused persons who are vulnerable. In other words, children. And when you look at the various explanatory documents accompanying this proposal, you see that they are very much talking about children here. The Council of Ministers has noted that at present there is a huge disparity in protection across member states of children and other vulnerable suspects and accused persons in criminal proceedings. This lack of common standards across EU member states has been recognised by the Council as an obstacle to mutual trust between judicial authorities in member states and to mutual recognition of judicial decisions in criminal matters. While member states do have minimum standards for children in line with the UN Convention on Human Rights, on the Rights of the Child, which has been signed by all EU member states, these minima, as we have seen today, are not always enshrined in legislation or in practice. Furthermore, there appears to be very little legislation in member states protecting young and vulnerable adults who represent a considerable proportion of defendants in the criminal justice system. The Council has therefore asked the European Commission to propose further EU action on this specific issue. And member states themselves have called on the Commission to put forward a legislative proposal in this area. That potential proposal is currently under consideration and is at the very early stages of drafting at the Commission. Myself, Atina and Hugh are currently working with the team responsible for the drafting of this proposal. And the key aspect that I'd really like to get across today about this potential legislative proposal is the opportunity that it provides to the United Kingdom to shape the development of the law and regulation in this area at both national and international level. The main policy objective of this potential legislative proposal is to enhance mutual recognition of judicial decisions throughout the EU by way of setting down minimum standards for the protection of children and other vulnerable suspected or accused persons in criminal proceedings. In other words, it's about harmonisation of laws in this area. Now, paying mere lip service to a future EU law in this field, whether that be a directive or a regulation, more than likely a directive, that's simply not going to be an option. However, if the United Kingdom takes this opportunity now for debate offered today to get its own national law in this field right, then the UK will become the standard to which the EU aspires. In other words, the harmonisation suggested will be harmonisation with UK standards. Bearing in mind the caution put forward by Professor Eastman at the beginning of our talk today, the recent developments in social developmental neuroscience that we've heard about today can provide a useful tool which can inform discussion on the development of these minimum standards for protection of children in criminal proceedings. And we really do need to take this opportunity for change and development now, in order to have a real say in the development of standards at supranational and international level. The UK will, after all, not only be obliged to conform, the UK will be obliged to conform with these standards sooner or later. Neuroscience can contribute to a more comprehensive and multidimensional understanding of human behaviour and could potentially inform the realisation of human rights at national and supranational levels.